becoming more and more manifest, and yet more and more inexplicable as time goes on. The key words to the mystery are flying saucers, or as the United States Air Force calls them, UFOs, unidentified flying objects. And the mystery itself is, what are they? Tonight we're going to attempt to find out as we speak with Edward J. Rubel, former head of the United States Air Force Project Blue Book, investigating flying saucers and author of the recently published book, The Report on Unidentified Flying Objects. Mr. Rubel, you headed up the official Air Force investigation of these strange objects in the sky for 2 years, during which time you created the term UFO. For purposes of clarification, would you explain the meaning of UFO as the Air Force understands it, and how, if at all, it differs from the public conception of the phrase flying saucers?
Within UFO, the Air Force means anything that's in the sky that cannot be immediately identified as something that's known. I think for most people, the general public, the term flying saucer can mean entry into space objects. This is sort of a misnomer because only 5% of our reports go actually into space objects.
I see.
But when was the first of these UFO sighted in this country, Mr. Rubel, and under what circumstances?
The first UFO, of course, the first official UFO was reported on late in the afternoon of June 24, 1947, when a gentleman named Kenneth Arnold was flying his private plane near Mount Rainier in the state of Washington. He saw nine objects flying along by the mountain, and when he landed, he talked to a newspaper man and described him as saucers, skipping his soft wire. That's the name of flying saucers.
Mm-hmm.
There is another report that people stretch them out as far back as out of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
However, we look at these, and they don't have all the aspects of the present day flying saucers.
Is there anything that you know about these reports, Mr. Rubel?
Yes, there is. The plot of the frequency of these reports shows a very interesting peak every July. This is a step in 1953. We try to correlate information against the speech, liquor consumption, some foods, planets, tides, and spaces, and moon, weather, various things like that, and we're never able to explain why these reports decrease in July and also to a minor extent before Christmas.
So now, could you describe some of the typical ways in which the UFOs have been sighted?
Some of the events reports are ones that are sent in verification of what the people have seen. One of the more famous of these reports is a love of light. The four college professors went to great odds to try to determine what they were looking at. As it paid off, he said later on, a person was able to show these were natural phenomena. Some of our better unknown reports are something we know, sorry, where radar has picked something up and pilots have gone up and confirmed it. In many cases, the mere fact that they didn't check on these very closely led to an answer. However, in other cases, checks that the people went through proved that they couldn't come up with an answer, and added a lot more weight to the report, and led many people to believe that these were interplanetary spaceships.
Well, now, would you describe some of these possible natural explanations?
We were very familiar with all the natural explanations. As far back as 1948, a report was written dealing with light being refracted to an inversion light. During the war, we went to Texas, and several cases to see car headlights in the air caused by the headlights of the car on the ground being reflected in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And in a couple cases, it's about slow rolling airplane trying to get out of the way. We know there's turbulence behind a fast aircraft and reflect light like a mirror and give the illusion of a saucer shaped object following the airplane. I've seen that too. And then, of course, there's many other things, stars, trying to do these, ice cream clouds, sun dogs. All of these were familiar to us and were able to pick them out.
I said, now what about the school of holes? They are all meteors or balloons?
And what is all we talk about a secret experimental and saucer shaped Navy aircraft being the culprit? We did get a lot of reports of meteors and flying saucers or UFOs. However, we had a great competent astronomer who worked closely with meteor observers and sent these reports out. We also tracked balloons and daily had reports of their position. We were able to send these again, UFO reports, to find out if they were balloons.
Now, taking all these possible, distinctly natural explanations into account, as Project Blue Book did, in its exhaustive investigation, what percentage of the total sightings were you finally forced to set down as unknown, and could you describe a typical case?
Well, while I was in charge of Project Blue Book, the unknowns ran about 15 to 20%. Now the Air Force is down to 5%. However, I have a little bit of doubt as to the way that they got these reports down, because it's so unknown, we'll say. Might have been a report that we got from two Air Force colonels flying over Carson Center, Nevada, at B-25. They were flying along one afternoon heading toward Denver, and all of a sudden they saw two mountains ahead of them. They kept the watch, thinking they might be seeing if they could sense it, but suddenly these mountains closed in. They got a good look at them, and they were just in time to escape one. We kept every possible answer that we could think of. We kept jets, meteors, aircraft, and we even checked the kernel, and could come up with absolutely nothing. Just we were off in an unknown. But the book mentions an interesting series of investigations with radar and radiation equipment that seemed to indicate an unusual amount of radiation in the atmosphere during and shortly after the sighting of a UFO. Could you tell us a little more about this, Mr. Lupo?
This is very definitely one of the most interesting cases we've had because of two things. Number one, the people involved were all very reputable scientists, and his name was PhD physicists. Secondly, we recorded the data that they had. This was a lot of weight to the report. Even though it was very good, it was like volume for reports caused an argument. These people that didn't think it was the right data said that they probably these recorders weren't operating correctly. However, the next thing is that it was a rather huge because they had five recorders all operating simultaneously, and it would be rather a small chance that they would all fire periodically go bad at the same time.
Now, in recent years, a number of authorities, self-styled and otherwise, have accused the Air Force of a gigantic cover-up operation, indicating that they knew much more than they were letting out to the public. Is there any truth in this, Mr. Roosevelt? And just what, to your knowledge, is the Air Force's position in this matter?
Well, this talk of a cover-up is absurd when it intimates that the Air Force has proof that the reported UFOs are interplanetary spacecraft. There is, however, a policy of not talking about UFOs in the Air Force or any kind of data, but I'm certainly convinced that this would be caused for three reasons. Number one, that this many events UFO report that they say have been solved can't stand a very close examination. Number two, when the Air Force has admitted over the past few years that they do have reports that can't be explained, a few rather vocal and disreputable people have worked these reports completely out of context. And last but not least, the Air Force seems to believe now that the exposure your eyes will go away.
Well, I think our audience would be very eager to learn, knowing your years of objective, authoritative work in the field, just what your own opinion on UFOs is.
Well, I certainly don't think that anyone knows enough about the UFOs to draw any definite conclusions. Anything that I would have to say would only be an opinion, since we're trying to be objective about it. My opinion would be any good.
Well, in other words, you don't want to comment.
That's right.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Evan Roosevelt, for bringing us the factual story about Storm Tom behind one of the most exciting mysteries of our time, unidentified flying objects, or the flying saucers.